his other hand and covers my nipple with his mouth. And for a second, we're right back and finishing what we started that first night we met. On a car, him taking what he wants, and me not protesting fast enough because I don't want him to stop. I clutch Noah's shirt, trying to cover myself, but he shoves it off my other breast, anger written all over his face now as he paws my cunt, rubbing it and digging his fingers in through my panties. Then, pushing my arms over my head, he devours the flesh of my nipples, and my heart pumps hot as my eyes roll into the back of my head. Fuck. Don't stop, just like this. Don't kiss my lips or look at me or fucking hold me. Just like this. He rises up, takes hold of the backs of my knees, and jerks me down into position, pushing my legs open as he digs his cock out. I clutch his brother's shirt to my body, covering my breasts, and only have a moment before he grips my hips and pushes inside of me. I clench my fists around the shirt and squeeze my eyes shut as he starts pumping between my legs, my back grinding against the car as he thrusts hard and fast until he's finally all the way inside. A groan escapes me. Oh God. I blink my eyes open to see him leaning over me and looking down as one hand grips my thigh. He pulls out, glaring down at me as he slides back in, his thrusts getting faster. He falls into a rhythm, strain tightening his face as he gazes at me, and he grabs Noah's shirt, trying to pull it off me. But I hold it tightly. Just fuck me. He stares down at me, something he knows his brother wants, something that belongs to his brother and father, even just a little, and knows that out there, I'm not his to keep. In here, though, he can sneak a piece. This is what he can have. The stupid little piece of trash he hates, but can punish with a hard fuck when he wants to remind her what she's good for. This is what we are. His dick fills me up deep inside, and my stomach tightens, because it feels good, and I don't want it to. Gasping, I close my eyes, refusing to let myself moan, but I feel the shirt ripped out of my hands. I pop my eyes open, growling as I pull myself up. Asshole. But he doesn't give me time to fight him. He wraps his arms around me and covers my mouth with his, holding me tight. I stop breathing. His thrusts cease all of a sudden, and his smell surrounds me as his fingers slide up through the back of my hair and hold my head to him, the world spinning behind my lids at the warmth around us. Caleb. Breathing hard over my lips, he nibbles on me, dragging out my skin through his teeth, slow and soft all of a sudden, and I open my mouth as if on autopilot, letting him have what he wants. The thought of stopping him anymore hurts. Picking me up, he carries me to the door, lifts up the cover, and opens the car, the heavy metal creaking. Dipping his head, he lays me down across the front seat of the old vehicle, the cracked leather pinching my back. And he comes down on me, slipping back inside me. Don't slow down, I beg in a small voice. Please. Sweat seeps out of the pores above my upper lip as he runs the tip of his tongue across his mouth. I'm dying to kiss him. Instead, I grip his hips and urge him faster. Please, I whisper in his ear. Don't be soft. Don't make it hard for me to leave. Soft with Jake is fine. Soft with Noah is fine. I like it soft. But soft with Caleb, it hurts. Tears fill my eyes. He sinks into my mouth, slow and deep, and a tornado rips through my body, swirling all the way down to between my legs. I cry into his kiss. Tiernan, I hear someone call. Caleb? Anyone in here? I open my eyes and draw in a breath. Noah. Caleb clamps his hand over my mouth and starts pumping as he sucks and tugs my nipple into a tight point. Hello? Noah shouts again, his tone aggravated that he can't find us. The tarp is over the car, though, and even though the door is open halfway, the car cover is still drawn over the windows so no one can see. Caleb fills me, his groan vibrating across my chest as he licks and sucks, and the sound of his voice makes chills spread down my spine. I suck in air between his fingers, pushing against him and trying to twist out of his hold, but his other hand squeezes my breast, plumping it up to his mouth so he can devour me. I arch my back into it, moaning behind his hand. Fuck. His slow thrusts tease me as he kisses and bites, making my insides start to whirl like a cyclone, and I fist my hands, wanting to take him, wrap my arms around him, and show him the same attention. I want to touch him. God, I want to touch him. My orgasm starts to build, and I open my mouth to cry out, to get Noah's attention so he'll end this or join us or something. Anything to stop his brother and what's happening, but I hold my breath, about to fucking come, and I don't call out. I open my eyes, pull Caleb's hand off my mouth, and wrap my arms around him, kissing him so deep he fucking stills, his body jerking in surprise. Caleb. Caleb fucking Vanderburg. I keep my eyes open and move over his lips, watching the creases in his forehead deepen as I lick his tongue and moan into his mouth. Tears hang at the corner of my eyes, but I clench my thighs around him and tense against his thrusts. I don't want to come yet. Sinking into his mouth, I thread my fingers through his hair and over the top of his head, feeling him melt in my arms. I glide my hands up his chest, around his neck, and down his back, before sliding them around his waist, hugging him to me. The door to the barn finally slams. Noah's probably leaving, but I don't care anymore. This isn't real. It's not really happening. Caleb will go back to how he always is when we leave this car, and I'll go back to filling out my college applications. But in here, I can't fight him anymore. I want to feel this. I want to feel what I felt last night in his bed. The injury on my arm is a million miles away. I kiss him everywhere, along his jaw, the scruff making my skin tingle, down his neck, behind his ear, and coming back for his lips in between. When he doesn't rush to move inside me quite yet and closes his eyes, I hold his head and graze my lips over his eyelids and across his brow, pressing my mouth softly, almost dizzy from savoring him. His forehead falls gently into mine, and slow and quiet, we fuck, holding each other. I stare down between us, watching him enter me as his mouth hovers an inch from mine, and I know he's watching me. I want to say things to him, beg him for more, but even more, I want to hear him say things to me. I look up into his eyes, relaxing his body on mine. He takes my face, holding us forehead to forehead as I spread my legs wider. Our skin sticks with the sweat, and I dig my nails into his ass, feeling his jeans just below. My belly warms, something builds, and I squeeze my eyes shut, ready to cry out as he pumps harder and faster, but he jostles my face in his hand, demanding my eyes stay on him. I hold his green gaze, the orgasm racking through my body and pleasure sweeping between my legs as I start to come. But still, I don't blink as I hold his eyes. Breath passes between our lips. I tighten my stomach and then it explodes, a wave of tingles spreading down my legs and up into my chest as he watches my every moment. I open my mouth, feeling it flood through me and not making a sound, as I tighten around his cock, heat filling me deep. Finally, a small whimper escapes. I fall onto the seat, my eyes finally closing as he covers my mouth with his and thrusts a few more times before coming himself. His hot breath is like a drug, making me weak as his dick throbs and spills. The pulse in my neck beats a mile a minute, and I can't open my eyes. All I can do is hold him tight to me as his head lays on my shoulder, his breath hitting my neck as he pants. I want that again. I want that a million more times, a lifetime's worth. But I have a sneaky suspicion I'll have a hard time finding it with anyone else. I turn my head, my forehead immediately meeting his lips as his possessive hand squeezes my thigh. Caleb Vanderberg, you suck. Chapter 25. Tiernan. Tiernan? I hear Noah call from outside. I look behind me, seeing Caleb pull his t-shirt on, his jeans zipped up, but his belt unfastened around his narrow, tight stomach. I bite my lip, my mouth going dry for him again. I roll my eyes at myself. Jesus. Buttoning the collar of Caleb's flannel around my neck, I look at Noah's torn shirt, laying on top of the car, and pull my hat over my head before pushing the door open. Tiernan! I'm here, I say, stepping out into the snow and pulling my coat on as Noah jerks around at my voice. What the hell? He scowls and walks over, his cheeks as bright red as his hoodie as the wind blows the ends of his hair that are peeking out of his hat. I've been looking for you everywhere. I was just in there. Where were you hiding? I open my mouth, but the door behind me creaks open, Noah's eyes darting over my shoulder. Caleb steps out, snow falling into his hair as he fastens his belt and gives his brother a hard stare. I groan inwardly. Oh, Noah mumbles. Blowing out a breath, I turn, looking back at him. His hesitant eyes dart between Caleb and me, but he thankfully swallows whatever he wants to say. Holding up my phone, he tosses it to me. Phone call. It keeps ringing. I unlock the screen, seeing several missed calls from Mirai. Shit, this can't be good. I dial her back and hold the phone to my ear as I head back toward the house. Tiernan, she answers after the third ring. Hey, what's up? I climb the stairs and head for the door, my nerves on alert, hearing the alarm in her voice. I didn't want to call you, she says, but I don't want you to find out about it through anyone else. I swing the door open and kick the snow off my boots before entering the house. Found out about what? The Daily Post published an article claiming several sources that your father... Dread seeps in, and I almost hang up the phone. I hadn't realized how nice it's been, not letting the world in, and I really don't think I want to know. But she wouldn't have called unless it was important. What? I ask, pulling off my coat. That your father was abusive to your mother, she tells me. That he forced her to die with him. What? I blurt out. How would they come up with that conclusion? And they have sources? Because I don't remember anyone else being in the house that night to witness anything. I clench the phone in my hand, but I immediately ease up. Why would anyone speculate something like that? What purpose does it serve? Tiernan? Mirai prompts. I swallow. Yes. I walk into the kitchen, the scent of the deer stew Jake has simmering filling the air as Caleb and Noah enter the house behind me. Jake turns from the sink and meets my eyes. I look away. We know it's not true, Mirai continues, but there's little we can do about this and... I shake my head, hanging up the phone. Grabbing my laptop on the table, I spin it around and bring up the internet. Why am I aggravated? I don't care what they say about my parents. Maybe it would reveal that they weren't perfect, even if the current topic of discussion was bullshit. The guys surround the table, no doubt waiting to know what's going on. But as the page loads and I type in my parents' names, the headlines assault me all at once. My heart pounds against my chest. What does it say? Noah asks, peering over my shoulder. I shake my head, anger rising up my throat, and I don't know how to make it stop. Sources claim my father was controlling, I tell him, skimming an article. domineering, and my mother feared him. He took her with him because he didn't trust her loyalty once he was gone. This is bullshit. My father lived to see her thrive. I click out of the article, scanning other headlines, Twitter mentions, and links to YouTube videos. Really? Conspiracy vlogs this fast? A hand grabs my screen and spins the laptop around, away from me. Don't look at it. Jake slams the top shut. You knew all the shit they were spewing, which is why you've stayed off the internet. I dig my nails into the table. Well, is it possible? I hear Noah interject. His father shoots him a look. I mean, it's not like it matters anyway, right? Noah rushes to add. They were jerks. I take a deep breath, trying not to hear him. But he's right. Does it matter? Why is this pissing me off? This isn't your problem, Jake tells me in a stern voice. I raise my eyes, meeting his calm stare. Patient, but ready if I need him. I stand up straight and pick my cell back up, scrolling my contacts. I dial. Bartlett, Snyder, and Abraham, how may I direct your call? This is Tiernan de Haas, I say. I need to speak to Mr. Izuola. There's a short pause, and then, yes, Ms. de Haas, please hold. Caleb hangs back, leaning against a wooden beam between the kitchen and living room, his eyes lowered, while his father and brother stare at me from by the table. Tiernan, Mr. Izuola answers. How are you? I spin around, facing away from the guys for privacy. Have you seen the article in the Daily? I ask quietly. Yes, just this morning. His voice is solemn. I've already sent a cease and desist. I shake my head. No. He's quiet for a moment. You want a retraction printed instead? I sigh and start pacing the kitchen. The damage is done, I tell him. Readers will believe it no matter what now. I don't want it to happen again, though. You want to make an example out of them? Yes. We're both quiet, and hopefully he knows what I'm asking without saying it. I'm sure it must seem petty, and I may change my mind, but for all they know, I loved and adored my parents. It's shitty to print a story you can't prove when you know their orphan is watching. We'll talk soon, he says, understanding me. Goodbye. I hang up and walk to the sink, drawing a glass of water. Jake comes to my side. You could just make a statement. I laugh under my breath, turning off the faucet. Their daughter defending them? That's believable, I mumble. If this goes to court, they'll be forced to account for their sources. And you're betting they don't have any? I know they don't have any. I hold the glass to my lips. Mirai and I lived in that house. No one controlled my mother. Next to him was exactly where she wanted to be. I take a drink and spin around, heading out of the kitchen and toward the stairs. I need a shower. Why do you care? I hear Noah call after me. They were awful to you. I stop on the third step, trying to push myself to just keep walking, because I don't know how to answer that. It takes a moment for me to turn around and meet his gaze. The truth is, I don't know. My heart hasn't softened toward them, but something has changed since I've been here. A line is drawn that wasn't there before. There's a limit to what I'll tolerate now. I shrug, searching for my words, but I don't know how else to explain it. They're my parents, I tell him. His eyes narrow as they all stare at me. But that's all I say. I turn and continue up the stairs, almost wanting to smile a little. My mom and dad may or may not deserve my loyalty, but standing up feels kind of good. I twist the wire, binding the twigs to the hanger I stole out of Jake's closet. I only have plastic ones, so it was impossible to contort mine into a circle. Using the cutters, I snip off the excess wire and smooth the evergreens around the wreath, smiling at how they fan out, but in a way that's a little chaotic and wild. Growing up, my house was professionally decorated for the holidays. Lots of white, and I'm excited for the more natural Christmassy feel and smell. I check the other bindings on the wreath and crawl on my hands and knees on the living room floor, the dogs passed out in front of the fire as I inspect the garland I made for the mantle with the branches Caleb and I cut a few days ago. My fingers, the tips gold from the paint I used on the bookshelf tonight, peel back the foliage to see if more wire needs to be added. But awareness pricks, and I dart my eyes up to see Jake watching me as he sits on the couch. His eyes hold mine for a moment, and then he blinks and looks away, going back to watching the movie. I move my gaze to Caleb in the chair, and while his eyes are on the movie, he's aware of everything in the room except the television. His jaw is flexed, and my cheeks warm. Noah checks the doors to make sure they're locked and makes his way over. I pop up off the floor. Help me? He takes one end of the garland and I take the other, the ache in my arm growing stronger because the aspirin is wearing off. We lift the decoration and lay it over the mantle, the whole thing covering the 10-foot length. Noah backs away, letting me fluff and adjust it, and I bend over, swiping the wreath off the floor. Holding it by the hook, I hand it to Noah and gesture to the door. He hangs it, and I stand back, admiring all my handiwork. If only I had some red ribbon to add. Christmas is in a few weeks, and for the first time ever, I'm into it. But when I look at Jake, his eyebrows are raised like he's expecting something more to happen for my hard work all night, like for the twigs to start glowing or something. I retreat a little, chewing the corner of my mouth. If you don't like it, it's just a little holiday spirit. It's not like I sewed ruffles onto his drapes. But he rises from his seat and brings me in, kissing my forehead.
It's beautiful, Tiernan. I love it.
I smile. Good. I nod once.
You don't want me getting bored.
He laughs, but Noah grabs me, pulling me down onto his lap on the couch.
If you need things to do.
He tries to tickle me, but I bolt out of his lap. Jake swats Noah on the head as he heads to the kitchen.
What? He blurts out. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, right. He's trying not to laugh, but his smile is devilish. I can't help but want to smile, too. I look away so he can't see. When I do, though, Caleb still sits in the chair, two deep creases between his eyebrows as he stares at the television but doesn't watch. A chill runs up my legs, bare in my silk sleep shorts, and I pull down my matching sweater, covering the patch of stomach against the cold.
Here, Noah says.
I turn, and he rises from the couch, taking my hand.
Come on.
Jake disappears into the shop, closing the door behind him as Noah and I walk into the dark kitchen. He backs me up to the sink and pulls out a chair, sitting down as he reaches under my sweater.
Give me your arm, he tells me.
I slip my arm out, and he pulls over the first aid kit we left sitting out on the counter and begins unwrapping the bandage as I hold the sweater over my bare breast. I watch him clean my wound, his worried eyes darting to me as I hiss. The swelling has gone down, but any pressure feels like a hot poker in my skin. His touch is gentle, and we fall quiet, me chewing nervously on the inside of my lip. He's only quiet when he has things to say.
I'm glad you're standing up for your parents, he says in a quiet voice, even if they might not deserve it.
I watch him, his unusually sincere tone all the more poignant because it almost never happens.
I know I'd do the same for my dad, he explains, but he would deserve it.
I'm glad he realizes that. He tosses the wipe down and laughs bitterly.
I'm such a little shit. He's been all alone these years, doing everything alone, fighting for this family alone.
He shakes his head, more to himself.
We haven't really ever taken care of each other. Until now.
I remember Jake's surprise the other morning at Noah helping out without an argument. They've always taken care of each other. Food, shelter, work. I guess he means something else. Like how I'm happy and not thinking about my past. When you're cared for, you care for others. Noah's breathing turns shallow and he still won't look at me.
What happens when you leave?
He asks, but it's more like he's thinking out loud.
will they still be invested in each other as a family? And then it occurs to me, what happens to me when I leave? This has become a home. They've become my home. He wraps a clean bandage around my arm and stands up, hovering over me. But he still won't fucking look at me, and my eyes start to sting. I'm not leaving for months. I don't want to think about this now. I turn his chin toward me, and he immediately comes in, dropping his forehead to mine. What if I never let you leave? He murmurs, his breath tickling my lips. My chin trembles. What if? His arms circle my waist and he pulls me in tight. What if a lot changed before the summer? I listen. What if? He grabs my bottom lip between his teeth, making me suck in a breath before he releases it. What if we pumped you until you were pregnant? He whispers. To keep me here? I challenge. Knocking me up on purpose? But he shakes his head. To keep you with me. I narrow my eyes. I open my mouth to speak, but I don't know what to say. Noah is who I should be with, if anyone. He's young, kind, attentive. He talks to me. I can grow with him. He's good. So why don't I tell him that? I take his face in my hands, not sure what I want to say, but before I have a chance to speak, a dark form appears behind him. I look over his shoulder, seeing Caleb. I drop my hands from his brother. Noah turns and we both see Caleb's gaze on fire as he looks between us. He reaches over, I almost wince, bracing myself for him to grab me or hit Noah, but he simply takes my hand and holds my eyes as he calmly pulls me over to him. I go, heat instantly traveling up my arm from where his fingers hold me. He rubs a tendril of my hair between his fingers as he looks into my eyes. I open my mouth to speak, but I don't know what I want to say. He's young, not kind, and not attentive. He doesn't talk to me, and I can't grow with him. Caleb's not good, but he's the one I want. All to myself, right now. In the shower, dark, and just us, with his arms around me. Stupid girl. His dark eyes dart to his brother, and he jerks his chin, ordering Noah away. I hear Noah shift on his feet. You okay with this? He asks me. Without taking my eyes off Caleb, I nod. I'm sorry, Noah. Some lessons can only be learned the hard way. Noah lets out a sigh and walks into the shop to join his father as Caleb threads my fingers through his, leading me up the stairs. I'm sore, I'm tired, and I feel guilty, like I should be confused about a lot right now, but I'm not. All that matters is the next 5 minutes, the next hour, however long I'm with him. Instead of leading me to his room, he pushes the door open to my room and pulls me inside, swinging me past him. I stumble as he releases my hand, stopping myself. What the hell? I spin around and look at him standing there. He looks to my bed, his eyes suddenly hard, and jerks his chin, ordering me. What? It takes a minute to figure out what he wants. Sleep? I ask. He wants me to go to bed? It's barely 9 o'clock, I argue. He points his finger at me and then the bed, ordering me again, this time with a scowl on his face. Then he twists around and leaves the room, slamming the door shut behind him. What the fuck? And then I hear it. Metal against metal. A bolt sliding. My eyes widen. I run to the door, twisting the handle. Caleb? The door won't open, and I pound with one palm and jiggle the handle with another hand. What is this? I shout. Are you serious? I knew that was too good to be true. His calm downstairs was bullshit. He was pissed. I yank and pull on the door, beating it with the hand of my healthy arm. This isn't funny! He bolted my door? There wasn't a bolt on it this morning. When did he put it on? Is he kidding? Oh my God. Jake! I shout. Noah! But they can't hear me because they're in the shop. I hear his footfalls down the stairs, but instead of tears, anger boils my blood. I'm going to fucking kill him. Jealous, immature, batshit son of a bitch. I'm going to kill him. I kick and pound the door. What if I have to go to the bathroom? I bellow. Ugh.
Chapter 26. He circles the bed, not taking his eyes off her dark form under the covers. She exhausted herself. She bellowed for a fucking hour in here when he locked her door, and now she's passed out. Streams of moonlight glow across her floor, the silence in the house making the snowfall against the glass doors almost like a metronome. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. He climbs on the bed, hovering over her on his hands and knees as she sleeps. Thankfully, his father and brother never knew what happened. They were in the shop, far away from her little tantrum, but even if they weren't, he was ready if they decided to come to her rescue. He's sick of her slutting around, fucking him today in the barn, letting his father touch her and kiss her tonight, and then about to give it up for his brother when his back is turned. He's sick of seeing her smile when she works on her dumb shit in the shop. Sick of her excited by the snow or happy when she feeds the horses. Sick of seeing her hair fall across her cheek as she reads at the dinner table, or how she twists her lips to the side when she's concentrating on an assignment. Sick of her cries at night and how pathetic she sounds during her nightmares. He stares down at her, cocking his head as her breathing turns shallow and she fists her shirt up at her collar. Her face tenses and she jerks. The nightmare is starting. Leaning in, he brushes her nose with his, closing his eyes and feeling her panting and how her body tenses and flexes as she dreams. Her brow creases and her chin trembles, and part of him wants to do what he always does, take her in his arms, calm her, and put her back to sleep right. But this isn't who she is when she's awake. She's mean, and he's done forgetting that. Sinking his mouth to hers, he kisses her, her whimper disappearing down his throat as her body tenses and then eases. He almost laughs. He could be anyone right now. He'll drop her panties and slip inside her, and she won't even open her eyes to tell which one it is, because it doesn't really matter. He trails kisses along her cheek, her eyes still closed, not awake yet. He hovers his lips over her skin, moving his mouth but unable to voice the words. Pretty little cunt. He grinds on her once. That's what she is. Cunt. Climbing off her, he watches her face as he gently pulls her shorts down. He drops them on the floor and comes back to hover over her, watching her face as he slides his hand inside her fucking panties. His fingers trail between her legs, enticing her to open for him, but he has to pause a moment to fist his hand because she's so soft and smooth. He loves touching it. Nudging his way in, he finds her clit, and just like a fucking whore, her knees fall apart. He smiles, coaxing her little nub in circles. Does his dad do this to her? Maybe his brother? She moans for them, doesn't she? He brings his finger up, licking it, and then puts it on her again, listening to her sweet little breaths and moans as he rubs her out. He stares at her face. She's gonna know it's him soon enough. She lets out a beautiful groan as she arches her neck back and starts to move into it, wanting it. His dad and Noah are asleep, and he has her all to himself. Caleb, she murmurs, reaching down to grab his hand, but not actually moving it off her. You're an asshole. He smirks. He is, and she likes to act like she fucking cares. Putting up a fight 1 minute and begging for a dicking the next.
She won't stop him because as long as someone is fucking her, she doesn't have to remember all the nothing she is. Slow, she pants. Please. But he doesn't slow down. He pulls her hand off his and forces it up her chest, making her lift her shirt for him. She pulls up her top, burying her nice tits, and he watches them bob back and forth as she moves into the rubbing. He leans back, sitting on his heels as he keeps one hand on her clit and moves the fingers of his other hand down farther. He teases her ass, rubbing the tight hole and watching her breath catch. Caleb, she says nervously, but he doesn't stop. Rubbing her and not stopping, he presses the tip of his finger just inside her and holds it there as he fucks with her clit faster. Her little ass tightens around his finger, warm and making his cock swell painfully, but it just pisses him off more. He swipes a finger just inside her pussy, wetting his fingers and keeps masturbating her while his finger in her ass stays still. Eventually, she adjusts and relaxes, getting turned on again and comfortable as she moves into his hands. She likes both holes filled. Because of course she does. After a few moments, he's able to slide his finger deeper inside, and they have a rhythm going now, the room filling with moans and pants as she climbs toward her orgasm. He almost falters. Looking down at her, he almost wants her to have this because she's so beautiful and he loves seeing her smile. He loves watching her excited by the snow and happy feeding the horses and how loving she is with the animals and how good her arms felt when she hugged him to her in the car today in the barn. But he pulls his hands out of her little red panties, letting her body shake and her whimpers go unanswered. No, please. She chokes out a whisper. I was almost there. Sweat beads his brow, and he feels fucking sick, but he climbs off the bed, leaving her hanging. So far, so good. Now for round two. Caleb, she begs. He ignores her, dropping his jeans to the floor and pulling her off the bed. She stands there, swaying in her fatigue, and he squats down to slide her panties down her legs. She steps out of them, her hands on his shoulders. Do you like me? She asks in a small voice. The question gives him pause. At all? And if he weren't looking at a woman's body, he might think a child was speaking to him with how innocent and sweet she sounded. She swallows. I thought part of me might like that you don't talk. She raises her arms as he stands and pulls her t-shirt off over her head. I can say things and not have to hear your response. I hate talking too. He doesn't look at her as he plucks the condom out of his pocket and rips it open, slipping it on. She stands there. All you can do to me is walk away. She mumbles, but then sighs. I hate it when you walk away. He pushes her back down on the bed and climbs on top of her, avoiding her eyes. I hate the way you look at me sometimes, she whispers, and he can hear the tears. Like I'm nothing. He lifts her knee high and works himself inside of her. His dick crowns, feeling her open up and take him in as he slides in and out until he's buried to the hilt. He settles on top of her, forcing away the pleasure and warmth washing over his body and shaking her words from his head. And then other times, she kisses him, wrapping her arms around his body and sliding the tip of her tongue into his mouth. He hardens even more, sucking air in through his teeth. I don't know how to talk sometimes either, she tells him. This is how we talk. This is the only time I feel like you like me. The backs of his eyes burn, and he kisses her deep, tasting the tears on her cheeks. He kisses her everywhere. He does like her. He's wanted to touch her from the first moment, and he's been here, watching, as inch by inch she started to laugh and become a part of them all. He thrusts, the top of his body molded to her as he encases her head in his arms and kisses her.
Caleb, she pants, her pussy clenching. Caleb, God.
He can feel her about to come. She always comes so good. He rolls his hips faster and faster, wanting to love her, wanting to let her have it because she was made for him. Neither of them knows how to let people love them, but they don't have to talk with each other. This is how they say it. He doesn't savor anyone like he wants to savor her. Her scent, her sound, her touch, her taste. The feel of her arms around him feels like he thought nothing ever could. He wants to love her. He wants to please her. He wants to trust her and to see her holding his baby someday. His thrusts slow as he wonders how they loved her too. All the words she whispered in their beds. She's not hard to please. And as the images of his father and brother with her tonight flash in his mind, he's reminded. Women he loves forget him. He stops, and she whimpers, her body shaking as the second orgasm tries to push through her, but loses steam and drifts away, letting her float back to the ground.
No, she breathes out. Please, Caleb, what are you doing?
Chapter 27. Tiernan. He rises up, grabs me, and flips me over. Something circles my wrist, and I know what it is before I even look. The belt he'd given me on my birthday had been sitting on my bedside table, and he takes it, tightening it around my wrist and looping it around the wrought iron headboard above.
Oh, shit.
He yanks on it, pulling me up, and I have no choice but to clutch the bars with both hands for support as he secures me. He forces my knees apart.
Caleb,
I start to protest. I feel my wetness on the inside of my thigh, and every muscle inside me burns. I shake. What is he doing? He digs his fingers into my hips and jerks me back into him, quickly sliding his cock back inside me. I squeeze my eyes shut, stinging from the rawness as he damn near punches a hole right through me. This doesn't feel good.
Caleb.
But I don't know what I want to say. My head is spinning. He fucks me, pounding his hips hard behind me as I hang onto the headboard and my hair bounces across my back. He threads a hand through my hair, gripping the back of my scalp, and for a moment I can't breathe. All I hear is the sound of skin hitting skin as he fists his hands and makes my body hurt.
Caleb, stop!
He pushes my back down more, making my ass jut out as he releases my hair and reaches around to paw my breasts and dig his teeth into my neck. Tears hang at the corner of my eyes, and for a moment, all I can do is hang on as he pumps harder and faster. It's too deep, though. It hurts. He's taking, fucking me like I'm nothing.
Caleb, stop!
He doesn't hear me, though, his hand landing on my ass with a loud whack and his breath pouring in and out of his lungs. I suck in a cry, the belt digging into my skin.
Stop!
I scream. I work the belt wider, slipping my wrist out, and then I whip around, hitting him I don't know how many times. I burst into tears, seeing the rage on his face, and scramble off the bed. Naked, I run from the room. He catches me and yanks me back to him, but I slap him with everything I have and bolt into Noah's room, locking the door. He pounds on the wood, and I hear Noah move in bed.
What the fuck?
I back away from the door, waiting for Caleb to break through, but he doesn't. I try to catch my breath, but my knees start to give.
Tiernan?
Noah says. I crawl in his bed, pushing him back down and spooning him from behind. I wrap my arms around him like a steel band.
Go back to sleep,
I mutter, trying to quiet my tears.
What did he do?
Nothing. I bury my head in his back, the warm skin smelling like my body wash that he always steals. Just let me hold on to you.
Did he hurt you?
He asks, trying to turn around, but I won't let him.
Tell me the truth.
I can't speak. I just shake my head. I'm the only one who hurts me. I believed it was real. Whatever was happening between us for however long. He hates me. That wasn't love. Caleb doesn't come back to Noah's door, and I think I hear his footfalls on the stairs at some point. But after a few minutes, my breathing calms and my tears subside. Noah just lies there, letting me hold him. I tighten my arms around him again. I don't understand what's happening. He wants me one minute and is throwing me away the next. He's gentle and horrible, vulnerable and hateful. He shares me with Noah and then gets possessive. What does he want?
He was with our mom,
Noah tells me, breaking the silence. I open my eyes, feeling his voice vibrate against his body.
It was a rainy spring day, and some guy she'd been running with on the side was with them.
Noah goes on.
They had gone to the store, or so she told my dad. Instead, they went to a white house off a dirt road somewhere, and she left Caleb in the car. Locked it and said she'd be back in a bit.
He pauses and then continues.
She went inside and the brief stop turned into a party. She got high, lost time, and fell asleep in the house.
This is only the second time Noah has mentioned their mother. He must have been a toddler at the time.
He was alone in the car, with no one around for miles to hear him call out or cry when minutes turned into hours, and hours into days.
I close my eyes, not wanting to hear the rest.
There was no food in the car, and the only water came from the leak in the roof when it rained.
I try not to see it, but an image of a little boy alone, cold and hungry, flashes in my mind. Caleb was a child at one time. He was helpless then.
At some point, his throat went raw from crying out, Noah explains. But when my father finally found him, he wasn't crying or calling out. Not anymore. Just sitting in the seat in his own filth, staring off and barely even registering when the door was finally opened.
How much time? I ask. How much time did he lose?
It takes a moment for him to answer. 4 days.
My face cracks and silent tears fall.
Something separated in his head, Noah tells me. What goes through your mind when something like that happens, you know? When one day turns into two and two into three? You're 4 years old. You can't get out. You can't figure out what to do to help yourself. You're starving. You're cold. You're alone. You can't stand up. You don't know when help is coming.
I turn it all around in my head for a moment, trying to imagine how long the hours felt to a 4-year-old. Minutes filled with fear feel like hours, and hours of fear feel like an eternity.
It must have felt like he was buried alive, Noah adds. The doctors said he gave up. A wall just sprung up, and over the years, not talking became the one piece of control he had. When he had none during those 4 days in that car. His voice was the one thing no one could demand from him. It was his way of punishing everyone, a way to make the world share the pain.
Needles prick my throat. Yeah, I know what that's like. Denying myself anything that made me happy for so long because I couldn't let it go. It couldn't not matter. Caleb has been punishing the world his whole life, almost like me. Unfortunately, the world moves on, and then it just becomes punishing yourself.
Don't cry for him, Noah finally whispers. Especially not in front of him.
After a while, Noah falls back to sleep, and I'm not sure how long I lie there, thinking about what he told me.
Caleb almost died. Slowly, painfully. That would be a nightmare for anyone at any age. How much does he remember? Hopefully not much. It changed him, though. He turned inward and couldn't trust again. That's why he doesn't speak. Not out of spite, necessarily. He doesn't want to give anyone a piece of himself again. People hurt. He may not even know how to talk anymore. It's not like 4-year-olds are enunciating full speeches to begin with. You can't really lose an ability you never had. And it's hurt the whole family. His mother must be in prison for other things to keep her there this long, so she's all but dead to them. Jake had to raise 2 boys on his own, miles away from the help that Caleb needed, and Noah never really knew his brother. He's never known what Caleb could have been. They've all been alone, and somewhere in the time I've been here, we've all learned to care about each other. But I also created a whole other wedge. Caleb couldn't learn to live with another woman in the house, and when he tried, the lines were fucked up. How did I fit? Was I his cousin? His friend? His brother's? His? I pull my arms off Noah and swing my legs over the bed, sitting up, the weight of my role in all this sinking in. He acts wrong. He treated me wrong tonight. I'm confused too. I'm making mistakes too. But I don't want to hurt him. All I know for sure is that I can be there. Maybe over time he'll trust me as a friend. Hopefully, as someone who cares about him at least. I stand up, looking at the clock and seeing it's after 4 in the morning. I pick up a clean shirt out of Noah's laundry basket of clothes he never puts away and slip it on. Leaving the room, I close the door and head for the shower. As soon as I open the door, though, the steam hits me. The shower is running, and I spot Caleb sitting there on the edge of the tub. I stop, my heart beating fast again. His elbows rest on his jean-clad knees, and he hangs his head, quiet. He doesn't look up. I almost turn and leave. I need space. He needs space. Right now, anyway. I don't, though. I step in and close the door. Slowly, I walk over to him and stand in front of him, waiting. Maybe for him to make a move, or for him to lash out and storm out the door, but I'm not leaving for months yet. He can't get away from me. When he doesn't make a move to escape, I hold out my hand and lightly graze his soft, dark hair. He immediately clutches it in his own and nuzzles his head into it. I let out a breath. Kneeling down, I come in and circle my arms around his waist and lay my head on his chest, hugging him. I wish I knew what he wanted. I wish I trusted him, and I wish he trusted me. Friends is a better way to start. Can we go back? His arms hang limply at the side, and while he lets me hug him, he doesn't hug me back. I let go, letting him have his space. Looking up at him, he doesn't meet my eyes. He pinches my shirt, staring at it. At Noah's t-shirt. It's okay, I tell him softly. I didn't do anything with Noah. I glide my hands down his arms. I'm not going to. My right hand comes to his right hand, and I notice he's holding something in it. I stop, bringing it up and taking the piece of wood from his fist. What is this? But it doesn't even take a second to realize exactly what it is. The blue-green leg of my chest I painted with gold accents. I turn it around in my hand, my heart pumping so hard that a cool sweat breaks out on my forehead. What happened? I dart my eyes up to his, breathing hard. What did you do? Tears spring to my eyes and I drop the leg, running to the door. No. I race from the bathroom, down the stairs, pain and anger curdling in my stomach as I bolt into the shop. The frigid air hits me as I see the bay door open and I leap down the stairs into the shop and spin around, frantically searching for my chest. My first piece, the one he helped me design. And all at once, it's not there, and I see the barrel outside in the snowy driveway, spitting fire, remnants of the colored wood I painted sticking out of the top. My hands shoot to my head, everything going blurry in front of me as silent sobs rack through me. No. I stand at the open door, watching sparks fly into the black night and any traces of my piece quickly deteriorate into the barrel. My hair blows across my face, and I cover my eyes with my hands, unable to stand the sight of it. But in my head, all I see are my stupid kid drawings in the trash. Stupid. Stupid. I cry into my hands. The stairs creak behind me, and I clench my teeth, wanting to kill him. I want to hurt him. Why would he do that? Spinning around, I head over to the wall in my bare feet and grab a pipe from the collection of parts. When I turn around, he's there within reach. I raise the pipe like a baseball bat, glaring at him and ready to kill him. I'm done. I can't take any more. I swing, but instead of smashing his head, I slam the fucking steel into the bookshelf I finished today. The side splinters, giving way, and I'm gone. Lost in my rage, I beat the fucking piece, slamming the bat as hard as I can into the sides, on the top, and moving to the desk I started a few days ago, too.
You can't hurt me, I scream. There's nothing you can take from me. I don't care about anything. I'm nothing,
I growl, destroying everything I made and beating it as hard as I want to beat him, because this is it. Now he fucking knows there's nothing he can do to me. There's nothing anyone can do to me. No one gets that power anymore. No one matters. I cry, covering it with another growl. No one. I'm stronger than you. There's nothing you can do to me.
What the hell?
I hear someone shout.
What the fuck is going on?
Someone grabs me, pulling the pipe out of my hands, and I whip around, seeing Jake. His shirt is open, and his feet are bare, and Noah hangs back by the door, watching in horror. Jake looks between his son and me, breathing hard. I clench my fists, a beautiful numbness seeping down over me. Caleb holds my gaze for a moment, the pulse in his neck throbbing, but then turns and grabs clothes off the dryer, finishing getting dressed. He doesn't even have his boots tied before he slips on his coat and grabs his stocked pack, heading for the door.
Wait, what the fuck is going on?
Jake grabs his son. Caleb jerks out of his hold and continues walking.
You're not going anywhere in this weather,
he yells at Caleb. Caleb stops, turns, and looks at me. His eyes falter for a moment, looking sorry or some shit, and for a moment I think he's going to come back. He simply holds my eyes, lays his hand flat on his chest, and taps it twice. I don't know what it means, and I don't fucking care. Without sparing another moment, he turns and leaves, disappearing into the cold night. Chapter 28. Tiernan. I take a bite of my toast, holding it between my fingers as I prop the book open at the table. Their eyes burn my cheeks, but I avoid their gazes as I copy notes from the text into my notebook. I take another bite.
Are you okay?
Jake asks. I flip the notebook over, continuing the sentence I'm writing. I'm fine. The wind howls outside, and the snow kicks up and taps at the windows. The animals have been tended to, but we won't be doing much else outside today. It's below zero. Not that I've been helping much lately anyway, and I don't really care what Jake has to say about it. I dare him to pick a fight.
You're fine, Noah repeats. You've said that every day for the past week, and yet you'll barely talk to us.
Guilt pricks at me, and I forget what I'm writing. It takes a moment to remember the word I was jotting down and continue. Noah doesn't deserve my silent treatment, neither does Jake, really. It just hurts. I don't know what hurts exactly or why it hurts, but I'm angry, and I can't pretend I'm not. Jake followed Caleb that night, and I went directly to the shower that was still left running,
sitting in there for a half hour before my shivers and tears subsided. When he came back, though, he came back alone, and I haven't cried since. We haven't seen Caleb.
I'm sorry he did that to your piece, Jake tells me, holding his cup of coffee, but I just shrug.
It doesn't matter. It's not like I was taking it with me in April anyway.
April?
Noah blurts out, and I hear him shift in his chair.
College doesn't start until August.
I'll be finished with my coursework soon, I tell them, not looking up. As soon as the roads are clear, I'm going home. I'm 18. I'm financially independent, and I don't belong here. Why would I stay? I feel Jake lean in, tense.
This is your home.
My eyes burn, and I flex my jaw to keep my emotions from betraying that I kind of feel like hearing that.
We love you, he adds.
But I just snicker. So what did you think? I ask, still writing. I'd bed hop every night for the rest of my life, as if we weren't all completely insane. I was never going to stay. What did he expect to happen? I'd marry one of them? Live in the boonies and have all their babies? Or maybe we'd just go back to being a family. Uncle, cousins, niece. I'd bring my husband here someday to meet them, the poor guy never knowing I'd screwed everyone in this house. How did Jake think this was going to end?
We would have backed off, he says. Caleb is in love with you.
Caleb, I breathe out a laugh, is an animal. I'd be surprised if he remembered the color of my eyes right now. Like any girl, I only matter as much as his next piece of ass. That's what I'm good for to him. I finish writing my sentence.
He wasn't right.
Jake watches me as Noah sits quietly across from me.
And he communicates by losing his temper. He was wrong, yes, but he was hurt. The only woman he ever loved forgot about him, almost killed him.
He pauses.
He's in love with you, Tiernan. He was jealous.
Tears spring up, a cry I won't let out, aching in my throat. I want to shake my head. I want to yell and tell them it doesn't matter. He can't treat people like that, and it's his choice how he communicates. No one is stopping him from saying what he needs to say. So he's jealous. So his father and brother are in the way. He didn't have an issue sharing me the night of the fire. Am I supposed to read his mind whenever he suddenly changes it? He's not a human, he's a bear. His love feels like shit. I straighten, slamming my book closed and picking up my stuff as I rise from the table. I walk around the kitchen, quickly pushing the thoughts from my head as I leave.
Tiernan,
Jake calls after me. I stop, hesitating a moment before I turn my head. Jake sits in his chair, looking at me.
When Caleb stopped talking, I tried to use sign language with him,
he tells me.
I still remember some of it.
And then he puts his palm to his chest and taps twice, imitating the gesture Caleb made before he left last week.
This, he says, means mine.
Steam drifts out of my mouth, clouding into the air. The peak lies ahead, the view so much the same as the first time I stood on this balcony back in August, but so different, too. The chill has seeped through my white knit hat, and I hug myself with the brown plaid blanket Mirai sent me in the fall, wrapped around me and a mug of cocoa in my hands. My teeth chatter. The wind chill is well below zero. And for a moment, I let my guard down and wonder, where is he? I stare out at the view, the snow-covered trees spread out all the way to the snow-capped peak, beautiful and desolate, cold and lonely. There's only two directions he would have gone, deeper into the forest, to the fishing cabin, or to town. Caleb hates town. The frigid air stings my lips. Another minus 12 degrees and frostbite can happen in as few as 15 minutes. My fingers soak up the warmth of the mug, but even now the blood is running cold, making them hard to stretch. I try to stay longer, to feel what he might be feeling out there, but it's too cold. I love the snow, but when it gets to this temperature, it's not fun anymore. I turn around, the snow on my balcony crunching under my hard-soled slippers. Sliding the glass door open, I kick off my shoes just inside and step into my bedroom, closing and locking the door behind me. The fire crackles to my right. I walk over to my bed and pick up my pillow, smelling the case. It smells like snuggle. I washed the sheets after Caleb left, but his smell was still here somehow. Now it's gone. Tossing the pillow down, I drop my blanket to the bed and pull off my hat, standing there for about 3 seconds before I just let my feet carry me. Drifting out of my room, I loiter in the hall, shuffling my feet for a moment before I disappear up Caleb's stairs. It's only about 3 in the afternoon, and despite the tense talk at the breakfast table this morning, Jake and Noah are happily working in the shop, pulling together in Caleb's absence. How are they not more worried? I'm pissed at him, but it's winter. He could die out there. What if he didn't even make it to the cabin? Turning the knob, I swing open his bedroom door, the room dark except for the light coming from the window, and step inside. I close my eyes, inhaling his scent. The world spins behind my lids and I feel dizzy. Why can't Noah's smell do this to me? He'd be so happy to have me in his arms tonight. He's been good about not being obvious, but I know he wants to hold me. He wants me to look at him. Walking farther into the room, I step over to the bed and pick up one of Caleb's pillows, his sheets rumpled and his blanket half hanging onto the floor. I press the pillow to my nose, the icy coolness of his pillowcase making me shiver, before I can breathe him in. I draw it in, not smelling anything at first, but then it's there, still there. The trees and thistles, wood and leather, and something else, something you only get when you're buried in his neck. Heat swirls low in my belly, and I sit down on the bed, weak. It's cold in here, dark and dusty. The fireplace is black from years of ash, and even though he didn't take anything that I would notice, it feels abandoned. Walking over to the far wall, I stand at the picture below and stare into the woods, the snowy landscape beautiful and peaceful. I'm still angry. And if he walked through the door right now and wanted to make amends, I'd probably roll over and lap up any scraps he wanted to offer. He would win. He's winning right now. It's been a week, and I'm right back where I was when I first came here, making myself unhappy because I'm only worth anything if someone wants to love me. Just like with them. The tears that have been perpetually burning at the backs of my eyes for the last week dry, and I draw in a long, deep breath, releasing everything and the weight on my shoulders along with it. I'm bigger than this. I want to live. Spinning around, I leave the room and close the door, taking one last look at his space before I do. Then I head downstairs and into the shop, turning the music the guys are listening to up as I get started on the armoire. Noah smiles at me, I pull on my goggles, and we all get to work. Chapter 29. Tiernan. Twisting the handle, I rev the engine, the back tire skidding under me and making a half moon in the snow. I sit down, lock my boots on the pedals, and speed off, racing up the salted driveway as the dark clouds hang overhead. I love this weather. It's in the 20s, and while December and January were painful, it didn't take long to toughen me up. I barely wear a coat outside these days. I'm not even sure what day it is, only that it's February, I think. I pull to a stop at the shop door and take off my helmet, hanging it on the handlebar as I climb off the bike. I love it! I tell Jake.
Want one?
I smile, watching him wipe the grease off his hands. Maybe something street legal instead. He shakes his head, and I lean on the washing machine, kicking off my boots. The cuff of my beautiful Aran Island sweater is unraveling, a wool string hanging over my hand, but it only feels good, because I know my clothes have now been lived in, worn for hours and days doing things I love.
5 pieces of furniture sit around the shop. 2 end tables, a headboard, another chest, and the wardrobe. I would have finished more in the last couple of months, but I completed all my coursework already, got my college applications done, and tried a ton of new recipes, using our perishable food while it was still good. It'll still be at least 8 weeks before I can taste a fresh, crisp apple, though. I can't wait to get to town. But then some days, I hope the snow never melts. There's dirt under my nails, and I never need makeup because I'm outside every day, earning my rosy cheeks. Jake tosses the rag down and looks at me.
It doesn't have to be street legal, he tells me, if you keep it here.
I meet his eyes, but then bend over to scoop the clothes out of the dryer.
For when you visit, I mean.
I nod, but I don't look at him again. I know what he wants. He'd love for me to stay, but he'll settle for an assurance that this is home base when I'm on school breaks. He's assuming I've calmed down, and I'll stay through the summer. I can't, though. I might be the reason Caleb hasn't come home. Maybe he will once I'm gone. Without responding, I put the clean clothes on top of the dryer, toss in the wet ones, and jog up the stairs into the house. Blowing into my hands, I rub them together as the heat of the fireplace warms the area. Guilt pricks at me as I refresh the dog's food and water. I don't want to ignore Jake's request, but I have 2 months yet, at least. I don't have to dread leaving them yet. Of course, it seems like yesterday that I said the same thing in December. Heading through the living room, I climb the stairs, but the front door opens behind me, and I look over my shoulder, seeing Noah step in. He kicks his boots of the snow and whips off his hat and work gloves. He looks up, and my eyes meet his. He smiles like a devil, and my heart skips a beat. No. I gasp and bolt up the stairs, hearing his footfalls behind me, charging my ass. I squeal, grabbing his arm as he passes me, both of us stumbling and laughing as we race for the shower.
I'm first, I shout.
We both scramble for the bathroom, slamming into the door and falling inside. I tumble to the floor and he follows, grabbing my legs to stop me from standing up. I kick him, screaming and laughing, and reach up for the sink, pulling myself up. I dart for the shower, but he stands up, locking me in and pressing his body into mine. My stomach shakes, feeling his heat and breath surround me. And in a moment, everything quiets. The laughing stops. He hovers over me, his chest rising and falling against mine, and I can smell the fire on his clothes from the burning he did outside. His dick rubs me through my clothes and I shift.
You can go first, I say.
You need to take care of something, it seems. I try to step to the side, but he stops me.
You need to take care of something, you mean?
He stares down at me, and I can feel the heat rolling off him. All that's standing in his way is me.
Do you love him?
He asks.
Because if you don't, then come in the shower with me, because my body is screaming.
I remain still. Maybe I should. It would feel good. Caleb is staying away for a reason, after all. He's either trying to outlast my departure, so he doesn't have to see me, or he knows he can't expect to come back at this point and find me untouched in his long absence, especially in a house with men I've already been with. Everyone wants this to happen. As he leans in, though, I plant my hands on his chest. No. I shake my head, keeping him back.
You love him?
He asks. I don't know. I frown.
I don't love you, though. Not like that.
Noah needs his brother a lot more than he needs me. I don't want to be in the middle. Don't use all the hot water, I say, and I leave the room. Heading downstairs, I go for the kitchen to check the stew in the crock pot, but a faint yell hits my ears, and I look up, seeing Jake on the phone.
If you don't put her on the phone, I swear I will have her airlifted out of there.
Jesus fuck,
Jake growls, pulling the receiver away from his ear and glaring at me.
Tiernan.
He tosses me the phone, holding his coffee in his other hand.
I don't want that woman calling here anymore, he tells me. Answer your phone.
Huh?
I hold the phone to my ear. That woman? Mirai repeats in disdain. What does that mean? He's a barbarian.
Hey.
Hey, she snips, suddenly realizing I'm on the line. Happy holidays, Dearnin.
I wince.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
We've been sticking to email and texting for the last 10 weeks, and even though she's called, I haven't answered. I didn't feel like conversation. With texting, we can state our business quickly without trying to make up shit to talk about.
Tiernan?
I'm really sorry, I tell her again. I've just been...
Living your life, she finishes for me.
I get it. You're not getting rid of me, though, okay?
I know.
I lean on the island as Jake hangs back, looking in the fridge and trying to look like he's not eavesdropping.
You got my present, right?
She lets out a laugh.
Yes, very generous. You saying I need a vacation?
Or an affair, I tease. A raging, hot, and mad affair with a man. Or men.
Jake turns his head, looking at me over his shoulder.
I bought Mirai a trip to Fiji, her and a plus one.
What do you know? Mirai laughs again.
Is she hot? Jake whispers to me.
I glance at him, the aggravation on his face suddenly gone. I roll my eyes.
So, are you happy? She asks.
Noah turns on music upstairs, and Jake lifts the lid of my stew, dipping his spoon in for a sample. Tonight, they're making me watch Starship Troopers for the first time. I'm warm, well-fed, and loved. There's nothing I need that's missing. But still, I drop my eyes.
Almost, I murmur.
We talk for a bit, and she lets me know that Mr. Izuola contacted her about the gossip rag, and they got the newspaper to print a retraction, as well as fire the reporter. Hopefully it sets an example that I'm not interested in tolerating rumors about my parents for the rest of my life. After we hang up, I check on the dinner, adding the potatoes in I peeled this morning. Washing my hands, I stare out the window, seeing how the snow around the driveway has started to slush. We still have more storms coming, but the past few days have been a nice reprieve from the bitter temperatures. I lean in, peering up at what I can see of the sky. The clouds look heavy. More snow on the way. I feel Jake behind me, and I look back, seeing him gazing out the window as well. He looks down, something intimate in how his eyes drop to my mouth. He takes a step back.
Sorry.
It's okay. We haven't been together since before the fire. I've been sleeping alone since Caleb left. I dry my hands as he takes a sip of coffee.
Another storm's coming, he says.
I nod, staring past the trees. It's starting to get dark. Has he ever been gone this long? I hate that I asked, but I wanted to ask every day. It's been over 2 months. Has he ever missed Christmas? Does he ever stay in this long?
No, Jake finally answers.
Aren't you worried? He pauses, his voice quiet as he explains.
I'm not taking you that deep into the woods in the winter, and we can't leave you here alone. If he isn't back by the time you leave, then I'll go in.
By the time I leave? For the first time, it hits me. I may not see Caleb again.
Tiernan, I want you to take Noah with you when you leave here, Jake says.
I turn. What about you? He's relenting? Noah's desperate to leave. When did he finally come to terms with it? And Caleb's gone. If I take Noah, then Jake will be alone. He simply looks down at me, a resigned half-smile playing on his lips.
I'll be okay.
I blink away the burn in my eyes. I don't want Jake to be alone here. If Caleb has survived in there this long, he may never return. Picturing Jake alone this time next winter, it aches. I reach up on my tiptoes and wrap my arms around him, feeling his hands reach around me too. Holding his head, I bury my nose in his cheek, a sob lodged in my throat. I open my mouth, nearly going for his. I want to kiss him. I want to take care of him and give him love,
because he's going to die up here, never sharing his life with anyone. I can make him feel good. His mouth hovers over mine, and I know he wants it. His fingers dig into my waist. But the hair at the back of his scalp is too short. It scratches my hand, not like Caleb's soft black hair. Slowly, I drop my arms, and he pulls me in, hugging me instead. I wrap my arms around him and close my eyes. I can't leave him alone. Either Noah stays, or Jake comes too, or I don't know. I wander back upstairs alone. What's going to happen when the roads open in 8 or so weeks? It's not much time. Is this how it ends? Standing at the bottom of Caleb's stairs, I look up at his door. I haven't opened it since December. No one has, but nothing has changed, I'm sure. Still cold, but probably a little dustier. I climb the stairs. The faint light out of the window casts the room in twilight, and I close the door behind me, rubbing my arms against the chill. I walk over to the fireplace and take a couple logs, laying them inside with some kindling. Swiping a match on the mantle, I light the fire and watch as the flames grow, warmth and light immediately drifting toward me. The soft glow flickers across the floor, and I take the match, lighting a few candles he has set on the mantle and one by his bed. Caleb has candles. Heh. I flip on his old iPod dock, an Amber Run song starting to play, as I walk over to the bed and fan out the blanket and sheet, freshening them up. I fall on top, lying down and staring up at the ceiling as I reach around and caress my cheek, like he did when he carried me to his bed. My heart aches. I close my eyes, tears hanging at the corners. Mine. He's mine. He should have stayed and fought with me. I lie for a while, staring off and letting my mind wander. The room darkens as the sun sets, but it warms with the fire, and I don't know where the time goes, but finally I hear a knock on the door. Tiernan? I blink, wanting to be left alone, but I sit up. Yes? Dinner time, Noah says. He must have searched everywhere before finally realizing where I was. I'll be down later, I tell him. I'm tired. I don't even look at the clock, but it has to be around 6. I don't feel like a movie tonight. There's silence on the other side of the door, but after a few moments, the stairs creak with Noah's footsteps. I roll over and bury my face in the pillow. But I feel something hard and move my hand, gripping the object inside the case. What is that? I lift my head up and reach inside, pulling it out. I hold a worn, brown, hardback book and peer at it in the dim candlelight, flipping it over to read the spine. Don Quixote, Volume 2. I smile and sit up, shaking my head. He's such a surprise. He reads. Of course, his shelves to my right are filled with books, but I kind of thought they might have been stored here, and he was too lazy to move them over the years. Sitting cross-legged, I pull the book into my lap and fan through it, the smell of the old paper, tinged yellow, wafting over me. I open it to the middle, hearing the spine crack. I almost laugh. I thought so. Although aged, it's not broken in. He's not reading this. So why is it in his bed? I let the pages fan closed, but spot something right as the book goes to close. I catch it, opening up the cover again, and bringing it closer to read the black writing. It's funny how women come to me so easily now, it reads. They used to say that I was stupid in school. Stupid. 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 I narrow my eyes, making out the scratchy handwriting inside the cover. I am stupid, but they sure like to fuck me. A lump lodges in my throat, and my breathing turns shallow. Caleb? Hurriedly, I flip through the pages again, checking inside the back cover, but I don't see any more writing, and I sit there, excited and shocked. Are these Caleb's words?